World Walt Podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top 6 ways Disney made Dumbo better. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 122 of the World of Walt Podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of July 30th, 2017. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans. Whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Back in 1940, Disney released its third animated film, Fantasia, a film that critics loved but that didn't turn a profit due to its high production costs and the impact of World War II on the movie's distribution. Disney needed a moneymaker, so in 1941, they released their fourth film, Dumbo. Disney designed the film to be simple and inexpensive. It runs just 64 minutes, so it's one of the shorter Disney animated classics. But Dumbo did what Disney needed it to do. The film cost about $1 million to make, and it earned 1.6 at the box office, or about $10 million in profits in today's terms. It brought in the cash that Disney desperately needed. Beyond the money, Dumbo made his way into our hearts and also into the Magic Kingdom. Dumbo the Flying Elephant was an opening day attraction at the Magic Kingdom, and it moved to the Storybook Circus section in 2012. Today we're going to take a look at the top 6 ways Disney made Dumbo better. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome a guy who doesn't have big ears and who isn't afraid of mice, Russ Reeves. Russ, welcome back.
Thanks, Herb. It's good to be back with you. I'm not afraid of mice, but I am afraid of psychedelic pink elephants.
Yeah, they enter your dreams on those bad nights, I think.
Oh, that is the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah, when you eat a bad piece of pizza or something like that.
Yeah, that's a scene in a classic Disney movie that makes me think, what were they thinking?
Or maybe in which activities were they participating? You just don't know.
Yes. But I'm glad that has not been added to the attraction.
Yeah, me too. I think Dumbo and Dancing Pink Elephants, I'm glad that we keep those topics separated.
Yes.
Okay, today our warm-up question, Russ, what is your favorite park entrance?
Oh, I like them all. I'm assuming that we're sticking to Walt Disney World. I do like the entry Esplanade in California, where you can turn left to go into DCA or right to go into Disneyland. And I love what you get a glimpse of and an experience of when you walk in both of those gates. But when I think about Walt Disney World, I'm torn here because I'm trying to figure out, are we talking about just before you go through the gate or just after you go through the gate or both? And if it's after you go through the gate, there's no question it's the Magic Kingdom. Because you walk in, you've got the train station and the big floral Mickey, and you go under the tunnel and you're on Main Street, USA, and you're looking down at the castle, and it's just spectacular. It just defines what it means to be at Walt Disney World. But outside the gate is not that much to get excited about, you know, unless you just like looking at large crowds of people. So in terms of the total experience of both before and after the gate, I think I would say Animal Kingdom.
Interesting.
I think that the walk up to the gate there is very welcoming, very inviting. And then after going through the gate, you have this long stretch through the oasis there where you're entering into this other world, and you're not surrounded by attractions and stores and shops. You know, you're just walking through this natural environment with these exotic animals on display usually, and sometimes some entertainers out there. So I think if we're talking about the whole thing, getting from, you know, your car or your bus and then into the main area of the park, I would say Animal Kingdom does a good job with the total package. Otherwise, if we're talking about just once you tap your magic band on the post and go in, it's Magic Kingdom all the way.
Interesting how you could take the question in different ways. I was thinking about the reveal of the Magic Kingdom, so I guess I'm talking post-ticket take there. The fact that there's this grand reveal as you walk under the train station, and then even then you have to take a bit of a turn before you see all of the castle. So
yeah,
I think that concept of
there's nothing reveal, like it.
Yeah, yeah, is interesting.
It is breathtaking.
And I was sort of comparing that in my own mind to Epcot, which is you can see Spaceship Earth from the parking lot. You can see it when you're walking up before you put your ticket in. After you can put your ticket in, Spaceship Earth is just it's always there in your field of vision when you're in the first half of the park, and it doesn't really have that reveal effect. And I know a lot of what was designed at Epcot was purposefully different, and I'm not saying that that's bad, but I don't think it's an impact in a different way. I think you see Spaceship Earth.
It is.
Really far in advance, and there's an excitement in that, but I think there's also an excitement in the way that the Magic Kingdom reveals the castle as you get closer to it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that Epcot, you know, almost it gives away the magic before you get through the gate, and then coming through the gate, it's almost a little bit of a letdown, because I think that front area there is so crowded with those, what are the Kaliva Legacy? Or is that what those, I call them tombstones, those big yeah. monuments that are out there.
Yeah.
No offense to any listeners who paid the exorbitant fee to be pictured on there, but I understand that those are going to be going away soon. Mm. And that could be promising for something a little more aesthetically pleasing there in the foreground of having to go through the gate.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm looking forward to some changes at Epcot. It will be interesting to see what comes.
Yeah, and it's going to be some exciting stuff, I think, that we're going to be hearing about. Epcot is due for its makeover. Everybody else is getting major enhancements and improvements and overhauls, and Epcot is past due for it. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. I agree. Okay, today back over to the Magic Kingdom and the top six ways Disney made Dumbo better. And Russ, number one is over to you.
Well, you know, they did the one thing that probably made the most improvement of any attraction that they've ever modified, and that is they doubled it. And by putting out the double Dumbo, or as I sometimes call it, dueling Dumbos, it cut the wait time down and in half immediately. I think it actually has been cut down in less than that. I'm sure we'll touch on some of those other reasons why as we go through the list. But, you know, Dumbo was always the slowest moving line in the Magic Kingdom because, and for that reason, I hardly ever rode it when I was there because it's such a small capacity attraction just in the single Dumbo, whatever you would call that, axis or whatever. It's such a small capacity. And the ride has to come to a complete stop, and you have to unload it and then load it, and then it starts up again. And so that line was just forever long and the slowest moving thing. So if you're a parent and your kids are, you know, insistent on riding Dumbo, you're trying to maybe distract them and say, these magic carpets over here are the exact same ride with the much less weight. Why don't we go over there instead? But you know, otherwise, with it the way it is now, the wait time is really insignificant for it for much of the day, and doubling that capacity was a great improvement.
Yeah, I think you're right. The double Dumbo was a very smart idea, and it's interesting how Disney is working to change capacity in a number of different places. So we saw the addition in Toy Story Midway Mania, an attraction that always had huge lines, and it's like, well, this is working and people love it. And many, many years later, the line is still insane. So let's add so that more people can experience it. So I'm glad that Disney did that with Dumbo. And actually, it really looks nice, too, the way they did it, having the two Dumbo spinners next to each other.
It does. It does. Yeah, they did the same thing with Soarin', adding the extra theater in Soarin'.
Yeah.
And for both Toy Story and Soarin', it did the exact same thing. You know, it just cut down those ridiculous wait times to something that's more, you know, reasonable and realistic for someone spending the kind of money they're spending to be in the park for the day.
Yeah. Good.
I think that it's been said before, you know, is that somebody at Disney figured up that if you're standing in a line, you can't be out spending money somewhere else in the park. So, you know, it works for them too. They get you through there faster. They get you into a restaurant or a shop to let go of some more of your money that way. So it makes sense for us as the guests, and it makes sense for them on their end too. So that's a really great change.
Yeah, I agree. Double Dumbo. That's a winner for number one on the list. Okay. Number two. One way that I think Disney made Dumbo better, and I'm pretty sure this is a difference. I don't think this existed before, was that there is now a photo spot where you can sit down in a Dumbo ride vehicle that's on the ground, and you can have your photo taken. So I think the photo of you riding Dumbo is one of the classics that people have in their mind. I've got to get this shot when I go to Walt Disney World. I got to get a shot of the picture, a shot of the castle. I got to get a shot of me and Mickey, and I've got to get a shot of me on Dumbo. And so I'm glad that now there is a stationary spot that doesn't hold up the entire attraction process, where you can sit down in a Dumbo and have your photo taken by your friends. So I think that was a very smart addition.
Yeah, I do too. In fact, I was trying to remember the last time I was there if that was at the original Dumbo attraction, and I can't remember it being there. I could be forgetting it. But, you know, another nice thing it does, if you've got a person who may be concerned about their ability to get in or out of the vehicle, a person who may be worried about their size or the restraint, or maybe a young child who's a little timid about the ride, it gives you a chance to, you know, sort of test out your ride vehicle and see what it's going to feel like when you're in it. You know, so I think it gives you the great photo opportunity, like you're saying, but it also gives you a little bit of a shallow end to wade into for the attraction if you have some concerns about those things.
Yeah. That's a good point. And I'm really glad when Disney does that. You hate to hear these stories where people wait for 2 hours and then realize that they are not comfortable with a ride vehicle. They don't fit quite right, or are too claustrophobic, or whatever. And so I think it's really good in that respect as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great place to get your picture made, though. So I'm really, really glad they have it there.
Yeah, me too. Okay, that was number two. Number three, Russ, back to you.
So I think another great improvement is the relocation of Dumbo out of the dead center of Fantasyland and back into Storybook Circus. That accomplishes two things. For one, it gets it out of the way of all that traffic moving through Fantasyland throughout the day, and it brings traffic back into Storybook Circus, which I think is a great area, a well-themed area, but that doesn't have a whole lot of reason for maybe many park goers to go back in there. It's probably assumed by many that it's just for little kids, and certainly much of it is themed to that. But it puts a flagship attraction back there to where, you know, even if you don't ride it, you at least want to go see it, and you want to get back there into that area. It's a beautiful area, and putting Dumbo there kind of pushes people back there to make room in Fantasyland and to explore a part of the park you shouldn't miss.
Hmm. I think that's a good point. And Dumbo being in Storybook Circus just really fits thematically with the whole circus idea.
Yeah, totally does.
Yeah. And I think we talked about the waits for Dumbo earlier. My guess now is that because it's not a front and center attraction, that's another reason that has contributed to the lines and the wait times kind of going down, which I guess is a double-edged sword. I mean, it's good if you know it, that you can ride Dumbo and not have to wait so long. But I think some people now may miss out on it because it's just not an attraction that's in your face in the center of the park like it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And related to that, one thing that I've observed, I don't have any real hard facts on this. We could probably pull some up at some point if we were really intent on finding this out. But just anecdotally, observationally, what I saw was when Dumbo was in the middle of Fantasyland, the line was huge. And so if you wanted to beat the line, you'd go over to Aladdin's Carpets. Its line wasn't so long. You could get in, have essentially the same or similar experience mm-hmm. on an attraction, then go about your day. Now it seems almost reversed, to where the line for Aladdin's Carpets the last few times I've been there has been really unreasonably long. And the line for Dumbo has been virtually non-existent. And so you've almost flip-flopped the problem that you had before there by moving it. And, you know, I just wonder if there may be some plan in place at some point to alleviate that congestion in the middle of Adventureland that's caused by so many people huddled around Aladdin's Carpets.
Yeah, it really does seem like Aladdin's Carpets is shoehorned into that space, and especially if there are a lot of people waiting and they're sort of pouring out of the confined queue, you got a lot of people dumped in that spot.
Yeah, and there's a camel spitting on you over to the side of it. And
but that's fun, in a weird sort of way. That's fun.
Okay, yeah, in a very weird way.
Okay, that was number three, relocation to Storybook Circus. Number four is back to me. So if I remember correctly, the original Dumbo location, not too far from Cinderella Castle, was out in the blazing sun, and there was no place to escape the heat. And one of the things that I think Disney did that's really smart is they have enclosed the queue in a couple different ways. But the part where you wait is now covered. There's the sort of the main holding area. We'll talk about that later. In the past, Dumbo was a scorching attraction. And even when you were on the attraction, you were still exposed to the heat of the sun. But now nearly all of the waiting process is covered. The attraction itself still is not. But I think that's a huge win for everyone.
It is. I always thought it would be a great idea to sell sunscreen and umbrellas like in the middle of the queue because by the time it moves so slow, you're just standing there getting baked in the sun. And if you could, for $10, I could buy an umbrella to have shade here. You know, I would probably spend it or, you know, maybe I forgot to put my sunscreen on that morning and now I'm already looking a little bit like Sebastian in turning a very dark red, you know, for $5 or $6 to buy some sunscreen to throw on there. You know, I would probably, but now, yeah, it's totally alleviated that problem by putting that cover there and giving you a nice place to get out of the heat for a little while you wait.
Yep. Covered queues, a good thing in Florida.
It is.
Yep. That was number four. Number five, back over to you, Russ.
Well, I think that with the relocation and the redesign and everything about all the new changes that were made with New Fantasyland, I think really it's just a far more beautiful attraction now than it used to be. It's always had a cuteness and charm and sort of a quaintness to it, but it seems like now it has a grander appearance and there's more almost elegance to it. And I find this is especially true at night. Riding that ride at night is one of the most beautiful experiences that you can have in the Magic Kingdom, I think, just from the appearance of the ride itself to the views that you get while you're on it. We have gotten into the habit of almost always ending our Magic Kingdom day at closing hour on Dumbo, and sometimes it works out. And by the way, at that time of night, there's usually no one in the entire land of Storybook Circus. So we have the whole ride to ourselves. There's four of us in my family. We're all in our own Dumbo elephant. And, you know, there's no queue. So we go around, and the park's still open. So let's go around one more time. And I think one night we did it about four times until the cast members finally said, okay, and with that, we're closed.
Yeah.
So off we went down the tragic walk to the front gate from there. But yeah, so that's become sort of a tradition for us to just go in there at night and just indulge in the beauty of this new attraction there.
I think the water that surrounds the base gives it a lot of motion and sound. And at nighttime, when that that watery area lights up and the colors change. It really is beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Dumbo at night, I definitely recommend it. And you're right that there is normally not a line back there. And so there's no guarantee, but it's not impossible to ride Dumbo while Happily Ever After is on. So you can be riding on Dumbo and seeing some fireworks at the same time, which is a great way to end your day.
Yeah. Great experience, yeah. And, you know, I think you mentioned the water. I'm not sure I ever really even paid attention to the water before. I'm assuming that that water is there for mechanical purposes, hydraulics or something, because most of those spinner rides have water down in a little trough underneath them. I'm not an engineer or mechanically inclined at all, but I just assume it has some functional reason for being there. But they did a nice thing in lighting it up the way they do at night so that it becomes a feature, really, of the attraction, whereas, you know, before maybe it just had some sort of more utilitarian purpose for being there.
Yeah, it is really very, very pretty. Yep. Okay, that was number five. So number six, one last way that Disney made Dumbo better is the kids' play area. So this is kind of the add-on to the fact that the queue is now covered, but also the fact that kids can now play and you get a pager so that when it's your time to ride, you get the pager, goes off, and it's time to go. So more than once, I have seen parents calling their kids like, oh, it's time to go ride Dumbo. Like, no, I don't want to go. I'm having too much fun playing here. And, you know, a queue is doing its job when people want to hang around in the queue.
The way
they've built out that play area with different levels, and it's like a kid's paradise. So I think that was very smart. And it's interesting that this whole pager idea, we haven't really seen in other spots, for attractions anyway, that I can recall.
Yeah.
And at the time, I thought it was the future. Yeah.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah, I was thinking this is the first of what is to be the future. You're going to go up and get a pager just like you do at Outback.
Yeah.
And, you know, and get summoned to your ride vehicle when it's time to go. But, yeah, we haven't seen it in any hasn't been retrofitted into any old attractions, hasn't been implemented in any new attractions. And that's kind of surprising because, you know, it does accomplish a lot of things. And I would imagine, you know, that it's not a terribly expensive thing to implement. I mean, certainly it seems like many small-time restaurants are able to afford that kind of system. So, what's really interesting about the children's play area, though, is with all the other changes that we've talked about, you don't spend nearly as much time waiting around for the ride as you used to, or as maybe the Imagineers thought you would be spending when they built that play area. So it's almost become unnecessary, but it is a nice thing to have. And certainly if the lines ever do build up and you've got small kids, you're going to be glad that you've got a cool area to wait for the ride and they've got something to keep them occupied. So they're not complaining about being in the line for that long. My kids were beyond the age of really appreciating or enjoying that when that opened, so we never really got to experience that, but I do observe when we go through there that it seems like it's doing its job.
Yeah. Yeah, I think with the doubling of capacity and the relocation to a less prime spot, there just aren't as many people going, and maybe there was a bit of a miscalculation in how much that kids' play area was going to be needed. Yeah, I'm always surprised that we haven't seen that in other spots, but I guess it's good. So, I mean, not having to be distracted while waiting versus just not having to wait. I'll pick, you know, just don't wait. So that's good.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, good. Top six ways that Disney made Dumbo better. Number one, double Dumbo. Number two, the photo spot. Number three, the relocation to Storybook Circus. Number four, the covered queue, thank goodness. Number five, the beauty of the attraction. And number six, the kids' play area. Russ, a good list as always.
It was. Yeah, it makes me want to go ride it.
Yeah, and maybe even hang out in the kids' play area even after the buzzer goes off.
Yeah, that would be different. That would be a different experience for me.
You can just pretend you're playing with somebody else's kid. It'll be okay.
That's kind of creepy. But anyway.
Thanks again, Russ.
Thank you.
head out to the music of Storybook Circus. And yes, we've made it through the list of the top six ways that Disney made Dumbo better, but our conversation isn't over. I'd like to hear what you think about our list. Do you have something you'd like to add? You can do that by visiting the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/122, a page that works nicely on your tablet, smartphone, or desktop. Leave your comment in the comments section and check out what other people think as well. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch, and I'd like to invite you to follow me on social media, facebook.com/worldofwalt and pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you like today's podcast, please spread the word about it. Tell your family and your friends. To wrap up for today, as always, a big thank you for spending some of your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site. There you can read interesting Disney articles and chat with other people in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting this site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you, and that is pretty cool. Thank you for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.